Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are called in, we do thank you for calling in. Those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, we are an interactive Bible study. you can call in and you can participate when the speaker opens up the mic, and you can participate and share what God has placed on your heart. That's why it's considered an interactive Bible study. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, we will have you online, and the mics will be open. Normally, you have to hit the number one, but we normally open up the mics once your number comes up on our monitor. Amen? And we do thank you for that. Also, when you do call in, we'd like to let you know that we can hear everything in the background. So please mute your mics or your phones or whatever you're using. Please mute it until it is time for you to share, because we can hear everything in the background. We don't want to hear anybody washing dishes, driving the car, listening to the radio, or whatever the case may be. Amen? We want to be able to have everything done decently and in order. So when the speaker is on, there is no distractions. We do thank you for that. We are going to be in New Jersey this evening. We're going to have prayer. After we have prayer, we're going to move on over to New Jersey, and I'm excited to hear this pastor who's coming on, who's excited about the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because of who you are. We thank you because you are a gracious God calling us to a new beginning, and we do thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fresh call of discipleship. And Lord Father, we thank you because you ask us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. And we're doing just that. We thank you for this Bible study. Lord Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the participants and all those who wanted to participate. Father, we ask that you bless the sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father. There are few, Lord, that we would like to name, Heavenly Father, and you know those, Heavenly Father. We do miss those names: James Hobbs, Diana Hobbs, Trinita out of Maryland, the Dickersons from out of Alabama, the Hawthorns from out of Cleveland. Lord, Father, there are so many on our list, and you know who they are. And the thing we love about you is because you're God who sits high and you look low, and you know our every need. And Lord, Father, we submit everything that we're asking in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We're asking, Heavenly Father, for a testimony, Heavenly Father, a testimony to come back for the people of God, for the body of Christ. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, I'd like to introduce our speaker who is on for the first time, Pastor Reginald A. Miles Sr. Amen. And he is coming from Hackensack, New Jersey. Amen. Hackensack, New Jersey. I'm not going to read all of his bio. In April of 1988, he joined the United States Army, serving in as a nuclear weapons technician, where he served and instructed, and he also maintained military arm. He has also served in the 4th ID of Finance, and later was reclassified to serve as a personnel information system manager specialist. Amen. Pastor Miles has accepted his call to preach the Word of God in 1992, and on his tour to Germany, the Holy Spirit led him to Dr. Larry D. Palmer, and I want to say that's, I don't know if there's Dr. Alan Neal. And they instructed the sermon of preparation while Alan Neal was a Bible teacher in the Sunday school. Amen. And Dr. Palmer instructed in sermon preparation. Amen. There's some history there. And, of course, you know that he is a pastor of Christian Fellowship Outreach Ministries, where he ministers to the unchurched, homeless, and those seeking a better understanding of the Word. Amen. He is an easy-to-understand style where he comes to deliver the Word of God. And he is also under, again, as I repeat, he is under ITLM, House of Israel, and that is Pastor Bishop Larry Palmer. Amen. And he comes with a word for us this evening, coming from Matthew 10:16, and his title is Being Tough but Tender. Amen. And now we move on over to Hackensack, New Jersey. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. Can you all hear me?
Amen. Amen. You are coming in clear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. I want to greet you all in the matchless name of Jesus, the one who died on the cross for all of us, so that we all could have the right to the tree of life and the name that's above every name. Before we get started on today, I want to invite you all, since I am in New Jersey, if you have a shovel, you can come on over after service. Let me see your shovel ministry. Because we are getting hit with 1 to 3 inches per hour.
Yeah, we're supposed to hit up. It is coming your way.
So if you feel it in your heart to show this ministry and my family your shovel ministry and how strong your back is with your back ministry, you are welcome to come.
God
praise
bless
God.
You. You can come over to New York too, Pastor.
Now, we actually have a word from the Lord that I really believe that's going to bless many, if not all. Yeah. Listening to the song, the New Beginnings, not just for the young. And I think that's very fitting for today's scripture that we have out of Matthew 10:16. There was a young man on my job many weeks ago, said to me, he says, "Red, you always seem to have the answer to all of the questions that come before you." I was like, "I don't have all of the answers. This is what I do is I actually go into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about my situation." And he looked at me. I said, "I'll go into the Bible." And I'm one that believes that the Bible is your manual for life. Your user's manual, like you have a user's manual for your VCR, your DVD player, your television. And people say Bible stands for basic instruction before leaving Earth. I just use it as believer's instructions before leaving Earth. If you have a problem, do what the Bible says, and you're going to come out all right. But a lot of people have opinions. And if your opinion is not based on something that's sound, it really is not going to hold any water. Like, for example, there are some people who still believe that the world is flat, the Earth is flat. Well, you can believe that or think that, have your opinion all you want, but it's still round. Many people also think and believe that they're not being watched, but that's not true. People are watching you whether you know it or not, especially if you say that you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized, and you carry the name of Christ. They're really watching because you are a living epistle. They'll watch you from afar just to see what you do. Now, there are many people in this world who have been taking on the name for the longest time, but really don't understand the nature of what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know how to act. How many times you were getting ready to go, have been invited somewhere, and then people did not invite you or did not bring because you didn't know how to act in a certain environment? There are many Christians walking this earth today that do not know how to govern themselves as a Christian. Scripture, "Be holy for I am holy." What does that mean to some people? There are some people who have taken on the name of Jesus but really don't know how to act. And I believe that Matthew 10:16 will show us, give us basic milk, basic information on how we are to act. Because Jesus says to his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, for those of you who like to write in your Bible, who like to underline in your Bible, I want you to underline the animals. Underline sheep, wolves, serpents, and doves. There are some characteristics of each one of those animals I like to bring out that can help us when we govern ourselves throughout our lives here on earth. Now, look at it. Jesus was sending his disciples out on a mission. You want to call it a missionary journey? To go preach the gospel, to go help people. Well, you yourself have a ministry. Whatever it may be. It may be the sexton. It may be the kitchen. It may be the dessert ministry. It may be singing in the choir. It may be parking cars. It may be security. You have something to give to Christ. So let's look into the scripture and see exactly what, where you fit in. Jesus says, I send you forth as sheep. If you take a look throughout the Bible and you search high and low and deep into scripture, you'll not see the believer is never described in scripture as mighty lions. They're not described as being independent or self-sufficient. Rather, we described, as Christ said, his sheep. And sheep actually need a shepherd to provide provisions and protection. Remember, we are spirits in a body. And if we go on our own spirit, we're in trouble because each one of us, when we were born into this earth, we were born into sin. And it took Christ to make that connection back for us to be right. And not right, but to be the righteousness of God. We need that instruction from him. So if you take a look at the sheep need a shepherd. And you can connect that with Psalms 23, where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he gives you your provision and your protection. But some people say, well, sheep are humble, sheep are lonely. Yes, they are. Sheep has lonely, weak eyesight. The eyesight is weak because they will wander off and straddle off to anywhere without their shepherd. But notice two things about a sheep. They have something to give, and they know their leader. Who's your leader? What are the two things that the sheep have to give? The wool that we use and the milk that we use. So all sheep, be it a lamb all the way to full grown, has something to bring to the table. My question to you is right now, speaking on the sheep, and I'm going to open up the mic now, what is it that you feel that you can bring to the table by being sheep or lamb of God? The mic is open. Do we have one?
Oh, well, the mics are open.
Okay, let's move on. Now, notice what Christ also says. Where does he send them? He sends them out in the middle of wolves. In essence, he's sending them out in a hostile environment. How many times have you went somewhere, didn't want to go, but you had to go? And it's a hostile environment for you. For example, your job. Many people go to work and don't want to go there because of the culture there, because of the environment. People there are backbiting. They're cutting each other's throat just to make it to the next level. But you have to understand one thing. Understand your enemy. One thing I've learned a lot about by being in the military, especially in the Army, we learn that your enemy, they prey on you. Oh, they watch you. And their main objective for you who call yourself the Christian, who's taking on a name and trying to act in the nature, what happens? They're coming to attack you. And the first thing you say, what have I done? You took on the name of Christ. And you have something to bring to the table. And the enemy sees that.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is fighting you on a spiritual level, not a natural level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Christ is trying to get them to understand. Now, these wolves, what do? Sometimes they kill for hunger. But most of the time, they kill for the sport of it. Their hunger is just to do it, just to do it. And remember, and think about it, wolves don't travel individually.
Yeah,
they travel in
right.
packs.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So if one person is coming to you directly, trust and believe there are more in the back.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now you have, when they do come to attack, one is going to come from the front, one is going to come to the back, and one is going to come to the middle.
Wow.
But before they do that, they look it over. They investigate. Mm-hmm. They evaluate. Then they think. Think about what wolves can do. They are so coordinated, so talented, that they can take down enemies bigger than themselves. Look how small they can be. They can take down an elephant because they can coordinate an attack by themselves if they want to. Which let me digress a little bit, which makes me think about Samson. I believe Samson was a real small guy. I don't believe he was a big muscular guy like the guy on that commercial. I pick things up and put them down.
Mm-hmm.
I pick things up and put them down. I believe Samson was a real small guy. And if I can use this size, I'm just using this just for an illustration. If he was to wear a woman's size, I thought he would probably be a size 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were asking, where did his strength come from? If he had big muscles, they would know. Which leads me to believe he knew how to do something. We know he had the Spirit of God on him, but he had that strength. They were wondering, why was he able to do it? How was he able to do it? He was able to coordinate something, and wolves can do the same thing. Make you wonder how they're able to do it because they know how to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's open up the mics now. Again, you have any input on the wolf, any experience you would like to share?
Yeah, I like what you're saying, Pastor, as far as them attacking in a they travel in packs.
Yes.
That is so deep. You know, because they can't do no one on one. But their strength comes from, and they're, like you said, they're strategic, when they're ready to leap or ready to attack. They come together. They're so coordinated. They come together and attack you like that. Now, in my experience being a believer, yeah, you're absolutely right. If one attacks you, and they have those certain cliques or friends over there, they're going to go with the leader to attack
That's right.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And when they attack me, like you're saying, they're coming from all angles. But
true.
I like what you said about Samson. His strength was hiding in plain sight, even though they didn't see his strength outwardly. But when it was time for him to tap in to the Spirit of God to call out, his strength came out.
Correct.
He hid underneath the shadow of God. And then when it was time for him to show that strength, he just called on the Lord, and that strength kicked in. This is good stuff here that you're bringing out, Pastor.
Thank you. Well, let's give credit back
this
to the Lord.
Good.
Now, what are you supposed to do? Let's look at our strength. Now, we know all our help comes from on high in the Spirit. But he told them, meaning Jesus told them, to be wise as a servant.
Mm.
Now, how many of us would like to be called or to be known as being a snake?
Serpent.
Not too many of us.
Mm-mm.
Not too many of us want to be known as a snake. Because being known as a snake is not a good thing in the culture in which we live. But let me give you some things here. Notice about a serpent. I believe that the Lord made a serpent to have a rough exterior body.
Mm-hmm.
The way he can weather the storm as well as the sunshine. His skin is thick. Not everything can penetrate it. In other words, what I'm saying, one of the characteristics that we should have as being sheep is one of them as a serpent. We need to have thick skin.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Too many people today who call themselves Christians get offended too easily.
Yes.
Do you know it is impossible for you to speak or anybody to speak and someone not get offended?
Amen.
Now, I don't support this, but if I say that homosexuality is not right, I've already offended a whole community. If I say I support it, which I don't, I've already offended another whole community.
Mm-hmm.
So it is impossible for people to speak to you and you not, and for not offense to come. But will you take offense to it? Can you control whether you offended or not?
Mm-hmm.
You can let it get to you or you cannot let it get to you. You're in control of that. But one of the things, and a few other things I want to touch on with that serpent is that serpent or that snake characteristic, he or she doesn't listen to gossip.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get that. I always get this phrase wrong. The young people on my job have to correct me. It's air hustling or ear hustling. Any, you're listening. And you're hearing that talk. But see, another thing of that snake or that serpent, what he or she does is you notice that they're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about country life, when I used to go to Virginia for the summertime, my cousins used to know when a snake was around. Did not know. But they would pick up a boulder and drop it down. I said, how'd you know that? I could tell by the ground because the serpent is hearing the footsteps. That's how they get their information.
Wow.
They get the information from first hand, and they get it on the ground. How many times you got a problem or with your brother? Scripture says, go to your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And get the first-hand information.
That's right.
Another thing that I want you to get about the serpent is when the serpent does get his information as being true, he knows what it is. But if somebody comes to you with information and they tell you a half-truth is still a lie. I don't care how you dress it up, say it any way you want, it's still a lie. Serpents don't operate like that. But one thing I want you to really get on this one here is serpents, when it comes time of conflict, they will raise their head in an upright position and they will watch until the danger passes by. Then if attacked, then the serpent launches a counterattack. But notice, the attack comes first. Then they launch the counterattack. If you take
a look
at our emblem in the United States, what does the eagle look? The eagle is holding a branch, and the eagle is holding weapons, and the eagle is turning towards the branch because we want peace. So whenever trouble comes your way, raise your head upright and watch until the trouble passes on by. Then if you are attacked, then you're authorized to launch a counterattack.
That's good.
When you're authorized from on high. See, that's where the part comes in about being tough. See, people think Christians are weak. No, we're meek. We're humble. But we will go on the attack from on high. And then all of a sudden, we'll get the... Or you're not a Christian, you're supposed to love, but let me tell you something. We love, but we're not going to love you to the degree where we love you more than we love ourselves, and you hurt us. But people think that we are. We are supposed to understand our environment. Many people who have been Christians, or they say they've been a follower of Christ for a number of years. I'm 52 years old. I know some people have said, well, I took in Christ for 40 years when you was 10 years old or 12 years old. I'm like, okay, I understand. But why are you still sucking on milk?
Amen.
And the reason why you are sucking on milk is because I believe that you don't have the basics here. You don't know who you are. You don't know how you are to act with your ministry in Christ.
Amen.
Deacon, I know some people who are on the deacon board who have been appointed deacons just on a hookup, but don't have the basic information or the basic need to be that deacon.
Amen.
Not a judgment, just an observation.
Observation.
And how do you say that? Because the scripture teaches us, try the spirit by the spirit.
That's right.
You can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Come on now.
No judgment.
No
just
judgment.
Just an observation.
That's right.
Because the word of God has already set the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, well, you're judging. No, I'm not.
Mm-mm.
I'm just proclaiming what's in the word. Because it's sound doctrine. See, you want to dabble in the church when you want to. You want to dabble in the word of God when you want to. And then you want to dabble in the world when you want to. And then you want to dabble in the court system when you want to. They don't mix. You're going to be lukewarm. You're going to be hot. Or you're going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather for you to be hot. Let me open up the mics now about the circuit.
Amen.
The mics are open.
Well, I just want to say that last part. I want to go back to the circuit, but that last part about judging, I know that the scripture says that we judge all things, but yet it says somewhere in the scripture, but yet he himself is not judged. Meaning that we're judging through not of our own self, but the word of God gives us that right to judge, just like you
Correct.
Were saying, Pastor. Give us Correct. The right to judge. And nobody can say, well, that's your opinion. Oh, no, that's not my opinion. You go to God. It's in the word. And
Correct.
Just like you said, we shall know them by the fruit that they bear.
Correct.
And that what you were saying about the serpent, about that rough exterior, that thick skin. So many times, like in my Christian walk, in my early years, and even in, I could say, being transparent, I can say maybe even 5 years ago. And I was I was easily offended. And I remember the Lord telling me, don't be so easily offended. Don't be so easily offended. And it's true, because if we are, then it will hinder our walk. It
Yes.
will hinder us so much, we won't move and press forward or go forward because we're wearing our feelings on our shoulder.
Yes.
Without,
that is so true.
You know?
That
and I like what you're saying about the serpent, for us to be wise. Just like you said, nobody wants to be to be acknowledged as being a snake, but we ought to be just that wise. Like you said, I like when you said that what a serpent will do is raise his head. Conflict comes, he'll raise his head, and until that passes by, he won't attack unless he's being attacked. If I got that right,
that's correct.
And I like that, because now we're being wise not to jump anxiously, but to lay in the cut. If you do, I will.
Yes. It's something else. Let me add something else to this way. Too many of us are soft-minded Christians.
Yes.
See, we want the life and the yoke of saints.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and that's where you're not going to grow.
Right.
See, tough. And then you also have other people who are afraid. They're just afraid of change. I say, now I understand. You may be afraid of change to a certain level, but if you are in Christ, and He's taking you to another level, another dimension in your life, that's where you got to trust.
Amen.
That's
what
you have to trust again.
That's good. That's so good, Pastor, because I was sharing that with a sister today, how we have to learn to be pliable, you know, because
yes.
the Spirit of God is always moving. He's always moving. A lot of us in the body of Christ, we don't want change. Sometimes change is difficult, but it's necessary. You know, it's necessary. God is always moving. The foundation stays the same, but he's always moving, trying to, I'll put it this way, renovate us.
Yes.
Trying to lift
like
us and let us go higher. But a lot of us are so stagnant. And I remember the Lord told me this a long time ago. Don't be a stick, you know, because sticks break. But if you be pliable, I can mold you. I can make you. You can flow in my spirit. But a lot of us won't do that because we're afraid of change. Change isn't always easy, but it's necessary for what God wants to do.
Necessary. I like what you said.
Necessary.
So you have to have a tough mind, like the serpent. You have to have a tough, rough exterior body, like
that's
the serpent,
good.
If you're going to go out here amongst these wolves.
Yes, that's
if
good.
If you are not going to have a tough mind when you're going out here in this world, and if you're not going to have that rough exterior body, to where nothing can penetrate you. I mean, not just your flesh. I mean your heart and your spirit.
Yes, your heart.
Lord knows I feel my help coming on right about
now. Come on now.
You're not going to make it on your job, at the ball game, in the parking lot. You're not going to make it. You got to be tough in the mind area, tough in the spirit area, and tough in your heart area.
Come on now.
For you to make it. You want to know why you stressed out? You ain't tough minded. You know why it ain't going the way you want to go sometime and you feeling some type of way? You ain't tough in a certain area, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It may be an area for growth.
Yes.
By being a pastor, I go through it. I'm attacked, seem like, at least 3-4 times a day in different areas. But each victory will help you some other to win to get to the next level. I'm currently in a storm now, and I've been in a storm now for the past 2.5 years. And sometimes it seems like all I can do is cry. But then I come right back here to the scripture to where I have to have a tough mind and be tough on the situation. But notice what Christ says to them here in the latter part of the verse. He says, but be harmless. As a dove. Now, some of you may say right now, wait a minute, you just read Miles, past some people who know who may be listening to me, Reggie, you just said
to be
tough mind. Be tough. Now you telling us to be harmless as a dove? Okay, let me explain to you what I mean. If my mama listening, I gave her the number. If she listened, she liked this part. Growing up as a kid in Hackensack, on a summer day, my favorite drink was grape Kool-Aid. And my mother would get in that kitchen, and she would make that grape Kool-Aid. She would take it, the water, she would put the Kool-Aid in there, and mama liked everything sweet, so she put a little extra sugar in it. But at the same time, what she would do is she would take some lemon juice and squeeze some lemon in there.
Wow.
And mix it all together. And she would take it and put it in the refrigerator, and she would say, boy, don't touch that. That's for dinner. And it would sit in there for about 5-6 hours. And she would tell me, go get some cups and put some ice and glasses, and then we would have that for dinner. Now, when it came time to sip on that Kool-Aid, that grape Kool-Aid had the sugar and the lemon juice in there, so that Kool-Aid was tart, but yet sweet.
Sweet. That's good.
So Christ here is telling you to be harmless as a dove. What does he mean by that when he says this? let's also put this in perspective to a dove. Soft, white, don't have the appearance of hurting anybody. Well, Reg, how are you going to put this description? Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true.
All right.
Honest. Just.
All right.
Pure.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Of good report. Any virtue. Anything praiseworthy. That's how you become harmless.
Wow.
Because when you feed that in your eye gate, when you feed that in your ear gate,
mm-hmm.
when you speak that and you hear it again, that's why I talk to yourself. You're not crazy. You
right.
basically preaching to yourself, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Preach to
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah.
When it's wintertime, what do? When
that's
you got
right.
that car that won't start. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Start. Daddy got
to
get to work. Come on. You got to start. Come on. You got to start
that's
right now. Let's go. You got
good.
To start. You talking to that car.
Very good.
But you can talk
very
to
good.
Yourself.
Very good.
I tell myself all the time, I'm a child of God and don't have to be told. Please excuse me if I sound bold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got to be like that. I got to encourage myself.
Yeah.
And you encourage yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. Because you're speaking of things that are true,
mm-hmm.
honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of good virtue, and it's praiseworthy. See, doves, they're innocent in heart. They're innocent in spirit. They're innocent in their actions. And another thing, make sure that you are innocent in your pleasures.
Amen.
Everybody like a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you are innocent in your pleasures.
That's
because
good.
Many times you have your pleasures, and that's catering to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who you call your friend,
mm-hmm.
be loyal to them.
Amen.
I believe I was on the phone yesterday with a good friend of mine
mm-hmm.
who I used to work with when I was in investment banking. And I told him, I said, I found you in scripture. And he said, you did? I said, yeah. I says, Proverbs 17:17. And we had a little Bible study last night. You can look it up when you get ready. Proverbs 17:17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, time is winding up real quick. I got about maybe 6 minutes. So let me give you some examples of some tough-minded soldiers and some tender-hearted soldiers that's in the Bible. I'm not going to be able to read them, but I'll be able to give you the scripture so you can study for the rest of the week.
Okay.
Tough-minded soldiers. Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they say? I don't care what you do, we're not going to bow. Tough mind, not going to bow. Daniel, lion's den. Tender-hearted soldier. The Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. We're going Daniel 3, Daniel 6, or your tough-minded soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You're tenderhearted. You have your Good Samaritan, Luke 10. And the one that I really enjoy is Paul and Silas when they were in jail. Now, I know it's been said that they say Paul sung while Silas prayed, or Silas sung while Paul prayed.
Yeah.
It says, well, Silas, since you younger than me, let me pray because
yeah.
I can get one through. Or no, let me sing because I got a better voice and he'll hear my praise. That ain't what scripture say. We need to stop saying that. We need to stop saying that.
Yes,
preachers need to stop saying that.
Yes,
the scripture said Paul and Silas. Paul, they sung and prayed. Read the scripture for you. Paul and Silas. Not one did one and one did the Paul and Silas. But now, let's
I like that because some say, you're absolutely right, Pastor Paul, then Silas. But it was Paul and Silas showing an agreement, showing they did it together.
Yes.
Not by themselves. When
yes.
two or three are gathered in my name, he's in the midst. So that's why those cells open up, because they were in agreement.
Yes.
Paul and Silas.
So we need to stop telling that. We need to stop telling that lies, preachers.
Yes.
Need to stop.
Good. That's
good. And the part where I'm coming to the tender part, when they said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Don't kill yourself. Don't do it. Tenderhearted. You can let the man do what he wants to do. Not tenderheartedness. But the best example of the tough one is Jesus when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
What he did for us.
Yeah.
That was tough. Tough mindset to go all the way through. Don't you know I can call on my daddy right now and hear send down legions of angels?
Amen.
But tough enough to stay there with us. Tough enough to stay there for us.
Yes.
Tough enough to fight it all the way out. Tough enough to think about you and I and our future.
Yes.
Because we was headed to hell. But he was tough enough to do so. But while he was being tough enough, he was also being tender enough to say while he was on the cross to a man that says, when you get to your paradise, please remember me. Today, thou will be with me in paradise.
Amen.
He had a tough mind, but he had a tender heart.
Yes, he did.
So it is my prayer for all of you that are listening, be it from the East Coast to the West Coast, worldwide. I believe my preacher friend in Africa is listening. He's on a different time zone. He told me that he would be on. If he's on, God bless you. We have to have a tough mind, and we have to have a tender heart. Yes, we ought to be meek, but not weak. Please excuse me.
Amen.
You don't have to sit back and take any and everything that comes your way. But at the same time, there are some things that are not even worthy of your attention.
That's right.
I pray that this interactive Bible study was a blessing to you on tonight. If you would like to get in contact with me or follow me, this is an actual outreach ministry. Where I physically goes out in the streets. Physically, I minister on my job. I minister by way of Facebook. And you can follow me at Reginald C.A. Miles. You'll see me as a picture in my garb. You'll see a man behind on the organ. That picture was actually taken at my pastor's church. Israel Total Life Ministries in Waldorf, Maryland, Bishop Larry D. Palmer. At this time, I would like to thank you all for listening. I pray that you can go forward with something that was said that would edify your heart. I love you all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Brother Elder, it's in your hands. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to open up the mics if there are any last comments. There are a number on the line. All mics are open. Please, all the mics are open. All you have to do is finish.
Well, I don't want to hog up the mics, but I just want to say, Pastor, we'll be praying for you. You said 2 years. We're going to pray for you because, pastors, y'all are always out in the front. And we are your armor bearers. So we're going to be praying for you. We're going to intercede for you, your church, your family, you know, that God will open up the windows of heaven. Not only that, but this thing that's been 2 years, that it will cease in this 2018.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. And this word was powerful. It was not only informative, because it wasn't just Paul, then Silas. this is so good.
Because that's...
I have to be transparent, because I was like some of them other preachers, how they, you know, I agreed. But no, now you've given me a different light, a truth, that it was both of them, you know. And a lot of things of this, I'm glad we can go back into the archives and listen to this again, because this needs to be heard again and again. It was a powerful word. Thank
you. You're welcome. One of the things that I like to add,
mm-hmm.
That I learned from my pastor over 20 mm-hmm. years ago, when he every now and again he'll say to me, a virgin preacher, he'll always bring that back to me. And he'll say, and I say to him, well, Dad Palmer, you're about praise, the instruments and praise this and praise that. I says, but I've noticed when it comes to me,
mm-hmm.
you've always made me stay in the word. He said, because that's mm-hmm. what the Lord told me to tell you.
Wow.
You ought to be a word preacher.
Mm.
And there are so many things that, I'm sorry, yes, ma'am.
No, I'm listening to you, and what I just heard is that you dissect everything, you know?
Yes.
Yes, and that's good, and it's like putting your eyes in the Spirit of God. You're reading the Word, and it's like under a microscope, and you're taking out truths and going into revelation and God revealing things. It's like feeding you in the cleft of the rock, you know, and I like it. Yeah.
There were so many things that I have on my heart that's burning, and I pray
mm-hmm.
that Brother Elder will have me again to come on.
We do too.
Without a doubt.
And there's one thing, there's one section in the Bible that I'm working on
mm-hmm.
That I want to put out there. People find genealogy in the Bible to be born.
Yes, me, yes.
You just don't, and I say you this not directly, but people
no,
who
okay.
find genealogy.
I have a tough skin. Go ahead.
People who find genealogy, I was one of them, who find genealogies boring.
Yeah.
You just don't know what to look at. You don't know what to look for. And that's
Amen.
Something I want to share.
All right.
There's something I want to share. There's one genealogy in the Bible that if time permits, the Lord say so, all we're going to do is read it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain words I'm going to have you to underline, and it's going
okay.
to tell a story. It's going to tell
okay.
a story. The words you're going to underline are going to literally tell a story.
Amen. Because I tell you, when I've read it, and it's like, oh, God, can I get through it, please? Please, can I get through it? I hear you, brother.
Well, once again, now, please feel free to grab your shovel and your snowblower and come on over here.
Right.
Brother Pastor needs some help.
I hear you, brother.
Brother Pastor needs some help.
I know.
All I can say is in Ohio, we've had our share. So it's time to pass a little more.
I heard a voice on it. I know who that voice is.
That's Elder John.
No, it's
oh,
not.
No?
That's my pastor. He on the line right now.
Amen.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Palmer.
Amen.
Bishop.
I've been listening.
Yeah,
Amen. Well done. Been listening. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Bless
well,
you all.
I just wanted to say,
it's been a wonderful evening. Wonderful evening. God bless you, Elder Clay, Pastor Miles, those who are on the line. God bless you. We have enjoyed, so we thank God for you.
Amen. We could tell he was under your tutelage, because we love it when you come on, Bishop. So now we have Pastor coming on. Oh, it's going to be good. 2018, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Now, let me let y'all in on a little secret. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Bishop gonna grab hold of me sometime tomorrow.
Okay, don't tell everything. All right.
Oh, wow.
He gonna grab hold of me sometime tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Well, see, I've been with him for over 20 years.
That's a wonderful thing.
And I'm not ashamed to say it.
Amen.
Yeah. I have a question. Let me just ask this. Mama, are you out there? Please say hi to the people if you are.
Yes, son, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
Amen. Hello, Mama.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm blessed because the Lord is doing fine.
Yes,
bless
so
you.
Am I. So am I. He woke me up this morning and everything else, he'll help me deal with that too. So I said, thank you, God.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
But I really enjoyed it, son. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
But we're not going to help him shovel no snow.
So y'all be blessed now.
God bless you.
God bless
okay,
you.
Okay, Mama. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor Miles, do you want to? You have any closing remarks? The mic is in your hands, and Bishop, we want to give you, a few comments if you would like to make any comments in closing.
No, just thank you for allowing me to have the time. I appreciate you. I'll give you a call another time, but we could possibly set up another date if you would have me. That's it. God bless.
Amen. We'd love to have you. Amen. Bishop Palmer, would you like to make any comments?
No, I thank God for all of you. I did get a chance to play 20 minutes of hooky from my own study tonight. So just to come on this line with my friend and my pastor. So God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. Look forward to being on the blog in the future.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we definitely enjoyed you, Pastor Miles. We definitely enjoyed you. Welcome to the family, and we look forward to hearing you again. We are out of time. We do thank you once again. If you would like to go into the archives, you can go into the archives, and you can go to Blog Talk Radio. And then once you go into Blog Talk Radio, then you would type in, "We Can Begin Again." And you could pull up the archive and hear it again and again. Bishop Palmer, anything that has ever been broadcast or has ever been spoken through this blog, you can pull up and you can hear it again. We do thank you for coming on and sharing the word and unveiling the mysteries of what God has to place on our heart. And I just pray that those of you who are listening by internet, that you apply it to your heart. We just don't be hearers, but we are doers, but we do thank you. We're closing out. We do thank you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you.
Amen.
Can look beyond the sky. face the dawn.